praise the Lord. Such a glorious way to start. Thank you for leading us in worship. Start off, Miss Karen, and what a blessing. Would you join us in prayer? God, we love you so much. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for your presence, for your power displayed already in the way you've moved among us at the church this morning with a baptism and decisions made by young people to follow you. And Lord, just glory, your glory displayed in music, and as Karen has led us to your throne to worship already in this service. And we ask you to bless each person and strengthen each one. Bless our guests that are here today, and pray that you would bless them and show your love to them especially today. Pray that you'll bless this time of worship, fill our hearts with your love and your mercy and your Holy Spirit, that we might grow in grace, that we might grow in faith and in the knowledge of the Holy, and that is you, God. We want to let your word dwell richly in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand together as we sing some beautiful songs of praise, thinking about going into the courts with praise and thanksgiving. We bring the sacrifice of praise.
This morning, welcome. Glad you're part of our 10:30 traditional worship. Take a few moments and walk around and welcome your friends. Glad you're with us today.
Well,
our songs of thankfulness this morning. Hymn number 170, Give Thanks. Speaking a little more about that from the book of Amos in a few minutes. Now, as we think about our offering and giving thanks unto the Lord and giving back part of what we've received, we're going to sing hymn number 793, For the Beauty of the Earth. We'll sing all five stanzas, but you can remain seated till we get to the last stanza, and we'll stand and sing together as we prepare to receive our morning offering.
Oh,
pray as we prepare to receive our morning offering. Heavenly Father, Lord, we bless your name and thank you for the gifts that you've blessed us with. And let us give back a portion and just thank you for the generosity of our church and the direction and the vision you've given for our church to know you, to make you known, to build by faith. And we just ask, Lord, you bless all the offerings and may they be given for the upbuilding of your kingdom's work right here in Gunnersville and all the way throughout the world. Thank you, Lord, for answering these prayers. Thank you for the gifts that will be given. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Thank you, choir, and thank you, congregation. All right, so you can tell by the choir what they're singing and what we've been singing from the very beginning. It's about thankfulness today. So what we're going to do in Amos chapter 2, we started Amos last Sunday, and we're going to kind of look at some of the minor prophets over the course of the next several months and other things as well. And so we started last Sunday, Amos chapter 1, verse 1, and we're going to skip today to Amos chapter 2, verses 4 through 16. And the reason that we're going to do that is you'll find out next Sunday. Next Sunday, you'll find out why we just skipped over the rest of chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2. And we'll go back to that next Sunday, and you'll find out, you'll kind of figure that out and realize, okay, I understand what he was doing there. But today, we're going to be looking at Amos chapter 2, verses 4 through 16. Amos preached, remember real briefly, Amos preached to God's people, Judah and Israel, during a time of great prosperity. All right, so biblically, this is not in order. We talked about that last Sunday. Amos is not the first prophet in biblical order, but Amos is the first prophet in chronological order. So Amos was God's first prophet, first mouthpiece to speak to God's people. So God spent hundreds and hundreds of years trying to warn his people. They had turned away from him, and they were instead turning to themselves, their own prosperity. This is what we have done, which always leads to what? Sin. And then that sin leads to more trust in self and turning away from God. And it's a vicious cycle. And so God sends Amos as his first prophet, his first mouthpiece, to then say to God's people, be careful what you're doing here. I'm going to do everything I can to warn you, because you have to understand, church, God cannot just sit by idle and just allow his people to do these things. There must be consequences for your actions, and God doesn't want that. God wants them to hear, not just ears, but with their heart. He wants them to hear what I'm trying to say to you. And so Amos was the first to kind of speak to Judah and Israel. It was a time of success. It was a time of prosperity. Things were good. Everything was great. And so Amos would warn God's people during these times to not lose heart, to turn away from self-reliance, and instead to turn toward God, or God will bring about his wrath and his judgment. And y'all, Amos was 100% right. We'll begin to see that today. Now, the Old Testament prophets, just the Old Testament prophets in general, major, minor, all of the Old Covenant prophets, they wrote some of the most rhetorically powerful literature in the history of the world. Certainly they were the ones who wrote this powerful word from God to God's people, but it's some of the most rhetorically powerful literature in the entire history of the world. And we're going to see that when we go back to chapter 1 next Sunday, and we certainly see that today in chapter 2. Amos 1 and 2 illustrates this as the prophet builds a case for his audience, and then he kind of turns this thing and twists it a little bit at the end. But Amos chapter 1 and the beginning of chapter 2, which is what we're going to discuss next Sunday, he records his oracles against the sins of the Gentiles, and the Jews are thrilled. We always love it when the preacher talks about everybody else's sin but ours. Isn't that great when the preacher does that? And at the beginning, that's what Amos is doing. This is the sin of the Moabites, the sin of Philistia. This is the sin of all of the pagan nations. And we'll see that in chapter 1 when we go back next Sunday. And boy, they were so excited about that. Now, those of the early church doesn't quite get this, but you do. You remember the day and age when you would go to church every Sunday, And the preacher, back in the day, would preach what? What'd we call that? Hell, fire, and brimstone. Oh, and he would just bring it. I mean, he would just wear everybody else that was outside of the church out. I mean, it was just hard. And he would just preach and all these terrible sin and oh how terrible. And then at the end of the sermon, the end of the worship service, the preacher would go and stand at the back. Everybody would exit out and you had to face the preacher. All right, the tough old days, you know. When I first got to this church in the old sanctuary, I did that. And then I realized nobody comes out that way. Either A, nobody wants to say, hey, preacher, good to see you today. Or they just actually go out the other way. And I realized they just go out the other way. I think some of it was that they didn't want to have to say hey to me either. But I quit standing back there because three people would come out. But back in the day, the preacher would stand at the end. He'd been preaching hellfire and brimstone. Oh, sin, 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 sin. Everybody's bad. Everybody. Oh, and a boy, you'd walk out and you'd shake the preacher's hand and they would say, you told him today, preacher. Boy, you told him today. So that's kind of what's going on. Amos is telling them about all these pagans and their sin and how terrible it is. And then all of a sudden, we'll see that next Sunday, and it's true. It's not that there's anything bad about that. That is true. But in today's passage, Amos turns the tables. All right, now we're shifting away from the pagans, and now he's talking about the self-righteous Judah and the holier-than-thou attitude and Israel and God's chosen people. So start with me in verse 4. This is what the Lord says. The people of Judah have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. I can't. They've rejected the instruction of the Lord, refusing to obey His decrees. They have been led astray by the same lies that deceived their mamas and their daddies. So I will send down the fire on Judah, and all the fortresses of Jerusalem will be destroyed. This is what the Lord says. The people of Israel have sinned again and again, and I will not let them go unpunished. They sell honorable people for silver and poor people for a pair of sandals. They trample helpless people in the dust, and they shove the oppressed out of the way. Both father and son sleep with the same woman, corrupting my holy name. At their religious festivals, they lounge in clothing their debtors put up as security. In the house of their gods, they drink wine bought with unjust money. But as my people watched, I destroyed the Amorites, though they were as tall as cedars and strong as oaks. I destroyed the fruit of their branches and I dug out their roots. It was I who rescued you from Egypt and led you through the desert for 40 years so you could possess the land of the Amorites. I chose some of your sons to be prophets and others to be Nazarites. Can you deny this, my people of Israel? Asked the Lord. But you caused the Nazarites to sin by making them drink wine, and you commanded the prophets, shut up. That is to say, we no longer want to hear the word from the Lord. We're good on our own. So I will make you groan like a wagon loaded down with sheaves of grain. Your fastest runners will not get away. Strongest among you, they will become weak. Even mighty warriors will be unable to save themselves. The archers will not stand their ground. The swiftest runners won't be fast enough to escape. Even those riding horses won't be able to save themselves. And on that day, even the most courageous of your fighting men, they will drop their weapons and they will run for their lives, says the Lord. And let me tell you something just real quick. Just let me make sure you understand. Everything that Amos says, everything happened. Every word that Amos prophesied came true, just like Amos said. First of all, he condemns the southern kingdom of Judah for rejecting God's law. They were led astray by the very same lies that led their moms and their dads astray. You've already seen what happens. You already know where this is headed. This is the same mess that your moms and dads listened to. Idolatry. Other texts then combine rejecting God's law and following false deities in a manner that anticipates and then echoes verse 4 over and over and over again. He's describing false prophets who, in the name of other gods, lied about Judah's security. And Judah faced a fiery end for believing these liars. And about 150 years or so after Amos prophesied this truth, Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon invaded Judah and destroyed Jerusalem in about 586 BC. So Amos ministered, though, not just to Judah, but primarily he ministered to the northern kingdom of Israel. So his condemnation of that nation is more extensive than his condemnation of Judah. The pattern that Amos uses indicates that while the nation's sins were sufficient enough, what you're doing is sufficient enough, but Amos goes farther and says, it's not just that your sin is sufficient enough to cause the downfall, but you have an overabundance of sin. That's just basically tipped the scales decisively for God, making the nation more fit for its destruction. Bert Parsons writes, the sins Amos condemns in chapter 2 are largely the sins that manifest the abuse of power. Selling honorable people for silver probably refers to some kind of judicial malfeasance, the condemnation of righteous people in the exchange for a bribe, which God abhors and hates. Exodus 22 calls those who take a poor person's coat for collateral to return it before the sun goes down so that the impoverished person might have something to keep him warm. Instead of obeying this command, the Israelites kept these garments overnight. Not just that they kept these garments overnight, but they used them as makeshift beds and places for illicit sexual activity. The nation committed all of these sins and more, forgetting the Lord who brought them out of Egypt and made their enemies flee in terror. When we reject God's truth, we are being led astray by the very lies that our culture believes and follows. Let me say that again. When we reject God's truth, what is happening to us sinfully is we are being led astray by a culture, by a world that believes and follows emptiness. And here's the thing. You don't need a sermon on the sin of our world and our culture. You don't need that. You get it. If you don't understand that and you don't see that, then your head is buried so deep in the sand that there's no way to get your head out of that sand. We look at our world around us, not just the American culture, but just the world around us. And we see the sin of our own culture. And so we don't have to look hard to see that. And we watch our own culture and the American culture walk right off the edge of the cliff into eternal hell. So why in the world, as believers in Jesus, why would we want to follow that? What would possess us to want to follow that? And yet more often than we care to admit, we do. Why? Why do we follow these lies? Why was Amos having to say to his people thousands of years ago, y'all, your parents believed these same lies. Look what happened to them. And look what's going to happen to us. And yet, they could see that truth right in front of their very eyes, and yet they did it anyway. What would possess us to want to follow in that direction? Well, a sermon for another day. The power of sin. The power, the allure, and where sin leads. And yet, like bass out in that lake that we love called Lake Gunnersville, It's as if we swallow the bait over and over and over again. Forgetfulness is another major contributing factor to the sin for the people of God. When we forget all that the Lord has done for us in the new covenant, when we forget all that the Lord has done for us in the gospel, which by the way is what? Everything. Everything we are, everything that we have. It becomes easy to take Him for granted. To commit the very acts that He condemns for us in His word. So if we do not regularly, and I'm talking about daily, if we do not regularly and daily thank Him for His great redemption, then like Judah and like Israel of old, we are likely to fall into the sins of the pagan world around us, just like Judah and just like Israel. This is why I preach the gospel to myself over and over and over again daily. Most days, every day, I preach the gospel to myself at least twice a day in the morning and when I lay my head down on the pillow. Most of the days, I preach it two or three or four times. Just if I'm driving back to the house for something, I preach the gospel to myself because I'm the type of sinner that I need the gospel. Not once on Sunday. No, that's not nearly enough. I need God's good news in my heart and in my mind every day. All day long. Now, I realize that when I talk about this thing called preaching the gospel to myself every day, I realize that I'm a broken record. They didn't get that in the early worship. They stream. You, old people, you know what a broken record is, don't you? I had to explain the whole thing in early worship. I told them in early worship, all right, there was these things called records. And we would take these things called records and we would put them on turntables. And we would turn the turntable on to the speed that it was supposed to be on for that particular record. And then they had these little arms and on the arm was a needle and you'd put the needle right where it was supposed to go and it would play music. Unbelievable. But every now and then, we called it broken record because it sounded like a broken record because every now and then, it would get stuck and it would just play it over and over and over and over again until somebody would walk over and tap the little arm and then it would move on. And so I realized that me talking about preaching the gospel to myself every day is a broken record. Hit me and let me move on. But y'all, that gospel to myself every single day, worship, confession, and then it always leads right into what? Thankfulness. As a pastor, I can't tell you the amount of times that I have to warn brothers and sisters in Christ, be careful, you are about to employ an entitlement mentality. And once you cross the line into entitlement, it's almost impossible to pull you back. Man, it's hard. Once somebody gets entitlement mentality, somebody owes me something, mom, dad, the people down the street that have more money than me, God Himself owes. Once you get that mentality, it's almost impossible, even for God Himself. Not impossible, but it's tough to pull somebody back to the truth. And that's why I preach to God, because, man, I see people, and then I say, Lord, please, please, Lord, please. I know that there's a lot of things that you can't do for me because I won't allow it. I'm a sinner. But please, please don't ever let me get there. Help me every single day to lift up my heart and my mind and my body and my soul to you and say, thank you, Lord. It's all gift. Thank you for the gift of life. No matter what happens to me today, y'all, no matter what happens, if today's the day that I go to see Jesus, then that's exactly what I'm going to go do. I'm going to go see Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I am connected to you for all eternity. Nothing or no one will ever take me out of the hand of the Father. Thank you, Lord. I say this all the time. If I never, ever, ever get another blessing, which I know I will, but if I never receive another blessing as long as I live, what God has given to me in Jesus is millions upon billions upon trillions of times more than what I ever could have ever deserved. So Lord, thank you for the gift of life. Thank you for the abundant life that you give to me. Thank you that you every single day, you just rain down blessing on blessing on blessing on me. Thank you for freedom from the condemnation, because I'm going to sin today. I've already sinned. I'm going to sin more. Just hang out with me for a few minutes and you'll get it. But I won't be condemned for that sin, which I should be, but I won't be. You know why? Because Jesus set me free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the gift of all that you, my family, my friends, money to pay the bills, a car to drive, clothes to wear, a house to live in, friends that love me and that I love, the gospel that I proclaim over and over. Thank you, Lord. I don't want to ever forget my source, and that source is who? God the Father. Now, I say all of that because here's my point. My point is this. Yeah, we can talk about thankfulness, but there's a bigger truth here, and that's this. Thankfulness turns our hearts in many directions, and that's a whole other sermon for a whole other time. But thankfulness for today, thankfulness turns our hearts toward truth. When we are thankful, truly thankful to God the Father for who He is, for what He's done, and when we have a heart that is just bubbling over, thankful, 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 it turns our minds, our hearts, it turns us toward truth. And now let's jump to the New Testament and close this thing off. What does Jesus tell us? What does Jesus tell us about the truth? What will it do for us? Jesus says, and the truth will set you free. So last Sunday, we started this Amos, minor prophet, by saying, Lord, I just want to trust in you. So as a church, we got building by faith. We got a lot coming up in 2026. So, Lord, we just want to trust you. For us as individual believers, there's things in my own life. Lord, I need to just tell you right now on the first Sunday of the new year, I trust you. So today, we go to the second Sunday of this new year, and we hear thankfulness. The greatest act of all, the gospel, all that God is, all that God has done for us in Christ Jesus, and then that truth, that real truth, the truth claim of the gospel will do what? It will set us free. Because church, anything other than that, and what I mean by anything is anything. Anything other than the gospel, anything other than God's truth that He gives to us in the good news of the gospel, anything other than that leads to slavery to sin, period. There's no other route. Everything else is slavery to sin. Father, thank you for a good word today on this second Sunday of this new year. Thank you for Amos warning God's people. And so now here we are. We read these great prophets looking backward from the new covenant. First thing we see is that everything he prophesied about came true, just exactly like he said. But there's a bigger truth to it, and that is, what about me? Now living in the new covenant. So thank you, Father, for that powerful, powerful truth today of thankfulness. Thankfulness to you, who you are, that's the proper response. Not entitlement. So, Father, if there's anybody that's here today doesn't know you as Savior and Lord, that's our prayer. Our prayer is that Savior and Lord will be a repent of the sin and trust in Christ as Savior and Lord of their lives. For those of us who know you, Father, burn deeper in our hearts the power of your word today. Through an old covenant prophet named Amos. In Christ we pray. Amen. Our invitation is, I will bless thee, O Lord. If you've never trusted Christ as your Savior and Lord, then we encourage you today to make that public. I'll be here up front and receive you. If you need to come pray or join our church, do that as we stand and as we sing. Seated real quickly before we head out of here and go to all of our places. All right, first of all, today in the early worship, Emmy Kate Reeves, I never knew her middle name was Kate. Emmy Reeves been part of this church since the day she was born. So Emmy today, cute little Emmy came and she said, I've asked Jesus to come into my heart and my life, and I put my trust and my faith in Jesus. And she's coming today to say that she wants to follow Christ in believer's baptism. So the next time you see little Emmy walking around, running around the church, you grab her and tell her congratulations for that great decision, and we'll baptize her sometime in here in a couple of weeks. All right. Then we had, that's a brave young man right there. That is Henry Feld. It's on me. Micah and I talked about the fact that Micah was going to baptize Henry today in the early worship. And usually that means I'm the one who fills up the baptistry on the Saturday before. And I always write that stuff down. And y'all know me, if I don't write it down, there's trouble. And so I forgot to fill up the baptistry. So this morning, Micah starts, hey, where's water? So we fill it up. Well, it takes about 12 hours to warm this water. Do y'all know where I'm going? He had to chip the ice away this morning. So Micah's got on waders. He's cool. He's fine. Ain't no big deal for Micah. Poor little Henry, y'all. When he walked down that walkway, you could just see his eyes. He looked at Micah like, what are y'all doing to me? Oh, he was brave. So the next time that you see Henry, encourage him that, yes, he followed Christ in believer's baptism, but he followed Christ in a cold believer's baptism. So, but it was great. We were able to get through that anyway. So we see Henry, encourage him. All right, what we got? Okay, Winter Bible Study. That started this past Wednesday night. Mike Reeves was the first teacher, and it went great. I was at deacon's meeting, so I wasn't here. But talked to Paul the next day, and Paul said it was fabulous. He did a great job. And so this coming Wednesday night, Candy Patterson will be talking to us from the Gospel of John and be leading us in Bible study. So look forward. I talked with Candy this morning, and she's looking forward to it. So this Wednesday night, if you're not in one of our other spots all over the church or with the youth or the children or Bible studies, and you come in here and be a part of this winter Bible study at 6 p.m. Looking forward to that, all right? Then our women's Bible study started last Wednesday night. It went great. From Erin Miles, said it went great. If you need to know more information about that, see Erin Miles. She'll get that to you. All right. And then Ken.
Yeah, this Friday night, we've got the Hoppers here. The Hoppers are a gospel group that's been around most of my life. I can remember when I first became aware of them, it was the Hopper Brothers and Connie. And then it kind of morphed a little bit through the years, but they became the Hoppers. Now it's the children that are singing, and they're going to be here on Friday night, 7 o'clock, and it's a $10 admission at the door. Angela Prim, who's a good soloist, has been on the Gaithers programs a lot, and Mickey Bell is the comedian. It's going to be here. Also, the Gunnersville FBC Pickers will be opening up for them, so it's going to be fun. So Friday night, 7 o'clock is when it officially starts. Not sure what kind of crowd we're going to have, but I'd love for you to come and be a part of that and support this event. And then tomorrow, our children's choir starts back with after-school pickup and rehearsal at 3. So we're going to have a lot of fun getting started and looking forward to a great spring semester with them.
All right. Also, today, well, in 5 minutes from now, there is a wedding shower for the middle son of the Samuels boys. The middle son wedding is February the 7th, and so the wedding shower starts in about 5 minutes in the fellowship hall. So Davis and Laura will be up there, and so encourage you to go and be a part of that wedding shower for Davis and Laura. And then be in prayer for our youth. So Warren and about 125 students and leaders will be leaving Friday, headed to Gatlinburg, coming home Monday, Strength to Stand. They got a ton going, as always. And so be in prayer for Warren and Heather as they lead that great weekend for Strength to Stand. All right, let's all stand and close by singing the doxology.